You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
I hope everyone's having a great day. It's the final spring trading of 2024. Cap and Cartman for Waddle and Sylvie. And it's going to be Black and Pat the Designer tonight for the night show until 8. We'll crosstalk with the guys in a couple hours. Wilbon 1 hour from now.
So last night, I watched every second of every Bulls game.
Which is, listen, I got to be honest. Hazard pay or something. I mean, like, a lot of times I have it on in the background. But to watch every second of Bulls and Wizards, I don't know how you do that. And you've got the recap you have to do, but not on. I mean, that is.
So I'm watching the game at a few weeks ago. Bulls are playing at that point really well. And I'm in here. Sylvie's right there where you're standing. Mm. And I'm like, did you watch the game last night?
Nope. He's down on them, Cap. Like, he hasn't watched much. He's where I am with the White Sox.
Right.
Like, he hasn't watched much in the last few months. Like, me and Sylvie and our good friend Jeff Brusso are on a, who used to work in the business with us, are on a like a chain together, and we text about the Bulls a lot. And Jeff and I will be texting, and Sylvie's like, didn't watch 1 second. He's right. So down on them.
Well, he doesn't watch. And I said, get with the program, man. You're a Bulls fan. It's your favorite team. It's like me with the Cubs. He said, all right, I'll watch Monday night. Of course, they lose to the Mavericks by 70.
Oh, I mean, it was that game. That's right.
Right. I get a text. Yeah. Thanks a lot for making me waste my night, whatever he said.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the way it worked out. It was the night of the Mavericks game.
So last night, my wife's sitting on the couch doing whatever it is she's doing on her iPad, just humoring me, and I'm watching this Bulls game. And they lose to the freaking Wizards, who didn't have Kuzma, Denny Avdia, and one more.
And Ty Jones in play, right? Like, they stink as it is, let alone
Kendall Gill starts the postgame going, those guys have already shipped their cars home. They're done in 10 or 11 games. And you lost at home? And then I get a text from Sylvie. Little jerk sends me a text from Mexico.
From Mexico.
Hey, how was that Bulls game?
I can't believe it.
With a laughing emoji.
But that's pretty funny, dude.
And I'm like, I thought you were in Mexico. He sends me a picture of him, Allie, and the kids. This is after dinner. I saw the score on the screen in the bar.
Dude,
thought of you.
That is funny. I love it.
Pretty good.
Busting balls. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
You're not mad. And right when they got within a game of 500, they go out, they lose to the Rockets without Şengün. I get it. You lose to the Celtics. Okay. Even though the Celtics played that
game. But you lose to the Wizards
Jaylen Brown. You lose to the Wizards? Who have 13 wins, 12 wins,
the
whatever.
The worst team in the NBA.
I don't blame him for, like, he's kind of tapped out. And listen, I know what it's like. Like, the White Sox last year, it was tough. I couldn't even muster up the energy to get aggravated anymore. Like, Hoodie was funny when the morning after the Cease thing and you guys were on. Like, Hoodie, and he had the Padre stuff on.
He starts that. It's awesome. Awesome. He's such a funny dude.
It was
dude.
Great. It was great.
He has the Padre shirt. I'm like, what?
I was dying. And but, like, I couldn't even muster up any strong reaction one way or another to it. I was like, okay. And Robert might get dealt this year. I don't know. I mean, he's got such a team-friendly deal, yeah. And it's still, like, 4 more years, if you want. Like,
you can't trade him.
I don't know, Cap. It, depending on, like, what they think of their timeline, because his deal is so long, like, do you think you'll be good again in 2 years? Then, yeah, there's probably value in keeping him because they've got two options on him in 26 and in 27 at $20 million. Like, are you kidding?
Okay, so go back to, remember when Jerry had the press conference to announce he was hiring Chris Getz?
Yeah.
He said, we're planning on
hiring Chris Getz. Chris Getz was already in the organization. Right. We already hired him.
Right.
We're promoting him.
And he said, we're planning on competing in 2024. You remember he said that? And don't be thinking Ohtani's coming. Remember?
Oh, I remember. He laughed at us.
And he said, but we're planning on competing. A friend of mine is out in Arizona.
Competing?
He lives out in Arizona. He's a Sox fan. He's from here.
Competing?
He goes up to Getz, apparently, at Glendale. Hey, can I take a picture with you? Hey, you said we're going to compete in 2024. And he said, might take a little longer than I thought.
That's what he said. Yeah. Chris Getz
is like our team.
Yeah, thank you. Chris Getz is the only sensible one right now. Like,
might
compete.
Take a little longer. Hoodie has them eclipsing the 106 loss season from the 70s.
Oh, come on. Well, like, if they trade Robert, I don't know. We talked about it last week when we were together on Thursday and we had Jesse on. The top three pitchers in their rotation threw 45 innings in the big leagues last year.
Dude, Kopech couldn't even make the rotation.
I hope he's a good reliever.
45. Like, 45?
You see, Crochet was asked by somebody out there, what did you think when they named you starter? He said, quote, I was stunned.
I was as shocked as anybody.
I was stunned.
If I would have woke up with my face sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now. I mean, like, I don't know.
Wow.
Compete, please. So Sylvie's frustration with the Bulls, I get why it's sort of reached that next level. He's aggravated. They're the exact same boat as they were a year ago. The record is almost identical through the same number of games. They're probably going to be the 9 seed, although Atlanta rallied from like 30 down last night to close within a game of them, I think, or a game and a half. Atlanta was down 30 and came back and won last night against Boston. So Atlanta picked up a game on them, but they've got almost the same record, Cap. They're going to probably be the 9 seed.
Do you know the last time they made a trade, a human body?
It's been like 3 years, right?
It will be 32 months April 1st.
32 months? All right, so not quite 3 years, but that's you're getting close.
August of 21.
It's unbelievable.
It's insane.
Let's see. Let's say now, do we want to talk to Paulie Cheesecake? I feel like we should save this for the Carmen and Yurko show tomorrow. You know, Paulie had to have a heart procedure done.
Ooh.
But I think he's okay. Do we want to do this now?
Too much cheesecake.
Yeah, you want to do it now? Tyler's nodding. You want to do it now. Paulie Cheesecake is, I believe, out of the hospital.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. And you had a procedure again where it was something with your heart. They had to...
it was an ablation.
Ablation, yes.
That's what I had.
Cap had an ablation?
In the 90s, 9.5 hours.
How long was your procedure?
It went 4 hours.
Wow.
Everything went well.
Well, they cut it in half. It's 30 years later, Cap.
That's it.
Everything went well? You're good? You're recovering nicely?
Yes, I am. My heart's at 50%.
What do you mean it's at 50%? It's only operating at 50%? That sounds dangerous.
No, the heart function.
What do you mean 50%? Shouldn't it be operating at like at least 90?
50%. No, that's what the doctor told me. When the heart function's at 50%, it's running normally.
Sounds odd. Okay. You're telling me my heart operates at 50% and that's normal?
No, so the heart function after the ablation.
Okay. Cap, what do you think? You had an ablation. I'm confused.
I had a physical. Mine's at 100%.
Okay, I would hope.
Well, that's what they told me, so okay. I'm just going with what they said.
Can you get up and around? Like, are you doing physical activity?
I just came back from this grocery store.
Okay, that's good. Are you making cheesecake anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm making one for the Dr. Timothy Markman. He did the ablation. I'm beautiful. Making him a turtle cheesecake.
It's a beautiful touch, actually. I'm not going to lie. He probably, in lieu of just money, he'd probably like the turtle cheesecake, I would imagine.
I would think.
It's like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Why don't you make the cake and put the Blue Cross Blue Shield card right sticking out of the cake?
What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I like that.
Paulie, how's the situation with that? In case you don't know, Paulie's been in what do we call it, an online or a... online relationship.
I'm not talking to her right now because I'm having a lot of problems, so I'm not doing more worrying about that right
Manti
now.
Manti Te'o set this up for you?
No. It's something else. I'm going to focus on me getting better first.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, but maybe is she a little upset that in your time of need, you've sort of like iced her out, though?
No. She understands.
She does? Yes.
We're just taking a break from each other.
What's
right
her
now,
name?
So I'm not worried
her
about
name's
it.
Malia.
Malata. But I'm taking a break from right now. Maybe I'll find somebody else if things don't work out.
Wow, I'm sort of sorry to hear this. This is kind of like breaking news. This has been going on for months.
Okay.
We've heard about Malata.
It's okay.
Okay.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to, you know.
You didn't send any money, right?
No, that one, zero.
You promise?
Yes.
All right.
Hey, listen.
Did this start with a text message like, hey, how are you?
No. Does Cap know I won at the Super Bowl?
I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, you won a square, right?
Yeah, I won $1,100.
Yeah, he won $1,100.
How much did Milana get?
Zero. Listen, you know I'm coming in to Chicago in May.
I know. Have you?
Yeah, because, and we're having that trivia contest. I got to talk to Danny.
Well, listen, nothing happens without the approval of the content director.
That's
if you want to set up a trivia contest, you better stop waiting and you better get on it. You have to reach out to Danny and talk to him about
correct.
It.
I'm coming in May because okay. I have 2 weeks paid vacation from my work.
Okay, good. What happens now? You go back on one of these sites and you try to find a new girlfriend or what
No. I'll just play it by ear.
Okay, probably a good idea. Take care of your heart. Make sure your heart's functioning. I would think maybe more than 50%, but what do I know? I'm not a doctor.
There's a lot of these new dating sites. FindingCheesecakeLove.com.
I know.
It's called Finding Bakers.
They're going to take me off the... With my heart getting better, they're going to take me off the dialysis, too.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad, because you don't want to be on dialysis.
No.
All right, take care of yourself. I'm sorry to hear about Mulata. I was hopeful that at some point you guys would actually meet in person.
Okay.
But, you'll find love. It's okay.
I know. Happy Easter, guys.
All right, happy Easter, Paulie.
All right, good luck.
Okay, all right, see you, buddy. Yeah. It's been going on since, September. And every week it was, we're meeting next. She's coming from New York. It's next week. It's next week. And all of a sudden it was the new year and they hadn't met yet. And he says he didn't send money. I want to believe him, but
it's not a Teo thing. Manti Teo.
Well, I don't know. We looked her up. We found her profile on Instagram.
Yeah, Manti had a
That's true.
Profile of a girl.
We were
too.
Worried that maybe she was going to get off the bus from New York and, maybe been a man. I don't know. It's hard to know.
Wow.
But he swears he didn't send money. I hope he knew. We kept saying, Paulie, don't send her anything. Don't send her personal information. Don't send money. I don't know. Maybe he means your heart functioning at 50% is actually good. And if need be, it can operate at 100%. Like they say, we only use 15% of our brain power. Maybe that's what he means.
Where'd you get that from? Wedding Crashers? Remember that?
That is pretty good. That is pretty good. Maybe that is where I got that from. I'm just thinking of Wedding Crashers.
And I think we only use 15% of our heart to express our love.
That is great. I don't know. 50%, I would think. But what do I know? Maybe a cardiologist can let us know. He's the best. There's no better caller than Paulie Cheesecake. Does not exist in the world. It's just the absolute greatest. Philly Sid is on ESPN Chicago with Carmen and Cap. We're in for Waddle and Sylvia on Spring Trading. What up, Sid?
Really, you're going to make me follow Paul.
Good luck to you.
I got a better chance of hanging up and dialing tomorrow.
Probably.
What's up, man?
Hey, as insignificant as some people might think it is, what the NFL just did with the kickoff was one of the smartest things that they have done as an organization in a long time. Because either you had to kill special teams and just tell every team you're starting on the 20 with the ball, or you had to fix it. And if this doesn't fix it, then they do need to kill it. But at least they stepped into the right direction.
Yeah, and we just saw Cordero Patterson just signed a two-year deal minutes after they approved that with the Steelers.
Reuniting with Arthur Smith.
It's going to make the other third of the entire game relevant again instead of watching a Super Bowl and both kickers hitting the ball into the cheap seats and just ignoring the fact that there's a guy back there ready to return a ball and 10 guys in front of him ready to block. So I'm excited. I hope it works out. We'll be real curious to see if teams start doing what, like you just said, with getting guys like Patterson back involved in the game, because the return is going to be a thing now unless you want to give the ball in the 30. And I certainly don't want to give the ball in the 30 if I don't have to.
Right. No, I think, and Sid, thanks. And I also like the coaches get a third replay challenge if one of the first two are successful. I like that one. I think that's fair. I mean, it should be that way. And you can have another one in your back pocket if you strike with one where your team does a good job. And I mean, your team of people in the coach's box helping the head coach. I think that your system is working properly. And if you win a challenge, that's a good thing. So I like those two tweaks. The whole hip drop tackle thing, I know a lot of defensive players, and I get it. I mean, their job's hard enough in this league. And I understand why they'd be upset. J.J. Watt and others were like, why don't we just go straight to flag football? And there's a lot of hyperbole that goes in anytime a rule change, another rule change, I guess, benefits the offense. But that rate of injury where it was about 6.5%, that might seem low cap, but I'm assuming if you looked at all the data, that would be pretty high. I don't think they'd make a change or stress something if that weren't an alarming percentage to them. It was 6.5% of all the plays in which that tackle happened last year. it led to, at a 6.5% clip, the player being tackled missing time.
Correct.
And again, that, you know, you might say, God, 6.5, that's a small number in terms of
it's
injury.
It's bigger than every other.
And exactly, like if you looked at it on the graph, something tells me that's going to be a pretty high rate of injury.
I talked to Kyle Long yesterday. Yeah. I did a podcast with him. And he is thrilled that they got rid of this swivel kind of.
Yeah, thinking. It's that swivel hip.
Yeah.
Where you're basically falling on the defenseless offensive player's lower half, like below the knees.
He said, I got too many friends that have had serious injuries. It needed to go.
Yeah. Those are the significant ones. There were a few other like procedural things. So the trade deadline got moved back to the Tuesday after week 9 now. So they extend that out a little bit. Oh, and I like this one. You know, we talk about Shohei and gambling. And if an injured player is not traveling to an away game, teams must now report that the player has been ruled out before the team departs for the road trip. They don't want any funny business.
Yeah.
Well, and that is important for gambling.
Doubtful, but maybe.
Right. That is important for gambling if they know that player is not going to be traveling. They
have trade to make deadline else move.
Yeah, trade deadline
challenge.
Move.
There's a bunch of stuff.
Let's see. Let's go to about, he's been waiting a while here, our buddy Randy in Seattle on ESPN 1000. Hey, Randy.
Oh, boys.
What's up?
How are you?
I am good. By the way, Carmen, your 3 hours with Tom Thayer was pure gold.
Thayer was great.
Thayer's an awesome teammate.
I mean, great. Like, his breakdown, the way he can, I mean, he watches so much film. Like, he really has wonderful insights, especially when it comes to line play. It's great stuff.
I mean, that's a podcast you can listen to a second time.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Really is. Love to hear him a little bit more. John, so here's my take. Caleb Williams should be basically begging the Bears to be drafted, okay? I mean, the phone, I take a bit from Cap's partner, Jonathan. You know, the phone should ring it. Ring, ring. This is Ryan Poles. Ryan, this is Caleb. You're still going to draft me, aren't you? Okay. Next day. Ring, ring. Ryan Poles here. Caleb again. Listen, got anything you need me to do around the house? Cut the grass?
Can I paint your garage?
You're going to draft me, aren't you?
Why, are you saying the situation is so much better than Washington or New England?
It's incredible. He should be calling every day at 2 o'clock. You're still going to draft me, aren't you, Ryan? I mean, this kid couldn't walk into a better situation. It's just the best.
You're right.
He'd be the other way.
He's got nothing to fear. He's got nothing to fear, Randy. The Bears are making that, you know.
Yes.
You might as well write the name down now. Again, unless something very strange happens when he gets in front of Bears doctors next week, like it's
done.
This is not a ruse.
No.
It is not.
This is done.
This is.
And by the way, again, we'll talk to Will about it at 4:30.
Oh, we're talking to Will about at 4:30.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for that. I didn't know. When did you announce that? Is that new? Is that fresh?
That's fresh.
It's like 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
It's fresh. Okay, good. So we're gonna move Waddle's World to about 5:30.
Yes.
And we're still gonna do Aki's A-list at 5 o'clock. This has trended this way for a little while now, and the Bears have spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of manpower, and they've gathered a lot of intel on Caleb, both everything he does on the field and everything he does on tape, but then just the person, and there's a lot invested in this pick. You know, there really is. You've
it's a set, legacy you, pick.
Yeah, and you've set up your young quarterback for success. Now you have to make sure you do all the things that, you know, lead you to picking the right guy, and it seems like every bit of intel they've gotten back tells them that the right guy is Caleb Williams.
Let's go!
I hope they're right.
Even the Justin fan club, I will be kind to call them that, where it got a little crazy.
The Hive.
Yeah. If you're a Bears fan, you got to come together. So when I get off the air every day at 10, I park my car over by the gym. I walk 4 miles around downtown every day. I walk down one street up to Michigan. I make a right. I cut across. And every day, I walk into Nike Town. To see if there's
Michigan
any,
Avenue?
Yeah. To see if there's any surprise Air Jordan brand drop of shoes. One out of 100 days, there's a surprise. And you got that shoe?
And it'll be off the shelf quick, so you have to sort of...
Yeah, they won't advertise. It'll be a shock drop.
Right, okay.
Wow, we've got this Jordan.
And you get lucky. You're like, oh, I'm going to get this one. Okay.
Once I found a Jordan that I wanted.
Okay.
One time. Yesterday, I walk in, and there's three off-duty police officers that work at the door. at Nike Town. They're off-duty Chicago police officers. And every day I walk in, I, hey, guys, how's it going? We talk a little sports. I walk in yesterday. I get one step in the door. He goes, I'm holding you personally responsible. So I go, me? He's like, yeah. If this kid from USC's no good, I'm holding you responsible.
So silly.
And I said, what do you mean? He said, I can't root for him. They did Justin dirty. I said, are you a Bears fan or are you a Justin fan? He goes, I'm a Bears fan. The other two police officers are like, no, he's not. He's a Justin guy. By the time I left, he's like, all right, I'll get behind
it's
Caleb.
Silly.
I'm like,
first of all, how would it be your, I blame you? I mean, what does that mean?
Dude, it's you saw the one tweet. Blame me and Parkins for the violence in the city.
So stupid.
Because we want Caleb Williams.
So stupid. I mean, come on.
Insane.
You can't even. The only time that should be acknowledged is like what you guys did when you were reading the mean tweets.
Correct.
Otherwise, it's nonsense.
Yeah, Yurk and I had fun.
That was funny. Mike's in Indiana. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
What's up, Mike?
Carm, Cap, good afternoon. I just wanted to say one thing, really. Earlier today, I was watching the McAfee show with Ryan Poles on there. And I said to myself, self, I am ecstatic that that guy is our general manager.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, the way they were drooling on him, and McAfee loved him, the way he said he was pissed because somebody let RG3 have a live mic for some reason. I mean, it was great. It was great stuff. I mean,
and thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mikey.
He said the right things, I think, this offseason poll. Some are being critical that they made it, that they devalued Justin. Even us that were willing and hoping that the Bears would move on, were blinded by our appreciation in some regard of Justin to think that the Bears were going to get like second or third round picks.
When we get Wilbon here in 7 minutes, we've got to ask him again. What he said, he had current players tell him what the Bears did with Justin shows that it's different and they're taking care of their players the way they gave him to Pittsburgh.
He's got to be happy, too. He's a big stay on the lakefront guy.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that's, you know, we haven't played any of that sound yet. We should do that. Maybe we could play some for Michael. I disagree with it, too. But he's a big stay on the lake, and I think it's becoming more and more obvious that that's what the Bears are going to do. So we can talk to him about all that. Mike Wilbon will join us when we come back next.
This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The great Michael Wilbon is brought to you by HawkAuto.com. Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com. We're Chicagoland. Saves big!
So Waddle and Thayer doing Hawk Auto commercials during the tournament. Games. All of a sudden, there's Waddle and Thayer.
About that,
pretty good. Is Wilbon ready to go? All right, cool. Michael, a little early today. Remember, this is the final day of spring trading, so this is the last week where we shake things up on Tuesday. It's Carmen Kappen for Waddle and Sylvie, and every week the guys get a chance to talk to Michael Wilbon. We go out to the CarX Tire and Auto guest hotline and say hello to Mr. Wilbon. How are you, my friend?
Gentlemen, what's happening? How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We're great. How are you feeling as a Bear fan? Like Caleb Williams, the Bears staying on the lake. I know you love that. I mean, it's a good time to be positive and optimistic about the Bears.
I mean, the lake thing to me was never a waste of time talking about that because that was never going the other way.
That's great.
And you know, I have had mixed feelings the entire time. And not only nothing against Caleb, as I have said to Wallen and Sylvian, probably you guys have been on at times where you heard it. You know, Caleb Williams went to my son's high school.
Yep.
Gonzaga High School in Washington, D.C. I am way more familiar with him and his family and his exploits and even his academic exploits than anybody in Chicago because, you know, he's from the DMV. He's from Washington, D.C., and we have kept up with him for a long time. I remember my first time. He's playing his first snap for Oklahoma. before he transferred to SC. And it's a Saturday, you know, early in the year. My son, maybe mid-year, my son comes running in the room screaming, "Dad, Dad, Caleb's taking his first snap at Oklahoma." I'm like, "Who? What are you talking about?" And, you know, of course you would keep up with somebody from your high school who goes on to win the Heisman Trophy. How many people have that?
Yep.
And so I have been keeping up with Caleb Williams, again, longer than anybody from Chicago. I love the kid. But at the same time, I wanted to see the Bears do this thing, meaning win, with Justin Fields because I thought it was possible. So I've always had some weird sort of conflicting sentiments. I was going to root for Caleb Williams wherever he went. And I'm certainly glad. I don't know what's up with the number 13. Is he bought that off of our receiver coming in?
No, he's not going to wear. Apparently, not going to wear it.
Not going to wear 13.
No, apparently not. Keenan Allen is going to. There's speculation on what Caleb would wear. He wore 8. He was 18 at the high school, I think.
He was 18, I think, at Gonzaga. Yeah. So okay. Well, maybe he just naturally goes back to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? I don't know. It's interesting. That's a great question about optimism. Yeah, I think in a weird way it is. I mean, it's tempered with reality. I mean, the NFL, all pro sports have hard realities.
Yes, that's true.
And, you know, you can draft a person, just the person you want, Derrick Rose,
yep,
and be in just the position you want, conference finals, at 23 years old with an MVP. And then,
poof.
What?
Poof.
I mean, you know, yes, it can go over. Pro sports can break your heart. It often does. It usually does. But yeah, I'm already like, when is it? You guys will know this better. When does the schedule come out? Like next week?
No, it'll be after the draft. Yeah, it'll be in May.
After, okay. So I'm already like, you know, plotting. You know, where the first game is going to be. Am I going to get there no matter what? My son's high school starts. Is last year, high school will start about the same time, and I know he's going to want to go on a road trip, even if we can't get back until Monday morning. So I must be pretty optimistic if I'm entertaining all that stuff.
I agree.
So last week I was here with Waddle, and you said something that I have parroted and quoted you that I thought was awesome. I've parroted it since you were on, where you said you had current people in the NFL going, "Yeah, I don't know if the Bears treat their players the right way." And by trading Justin where he wanted to go and maybe getting less back, that was a great message around the league. Can you tell that story again, please?
Well, just that, you know, you would hear the speculation about that, and you go, "Well, wait a minute now. The loyalties of any front office have to be toward right now." But that's I know better than that, because I've known enough general managers, and I think the general managers and coaches should never be the same person, because they work across purposes. The coach is charged with the responsibility of winning that day, that night, no matter what. The front office, general manager and president, are charged with the responsibility of helping the coach do that, but also overseeing the future and looking toward the future and understanding what it is in the industry that might help that franchise overall. And it's just interesting, you know, I live in a couple of places and I'm all over the place, and there are former Bears that I know and plenty of recent former NFL players. And some of them were courted by the Bears at times in their careers when they were free agents, and some could have gone there. A couple of from the Midwest Big Ten players who have settled in Chicago, and, you know, their reputation wasn't taking care of players. And so if that's the case, again, that's not my opinion. That is me putting my reporter hat on briefly. I don't do it much anymore. And just listening to people in the industry wonder about the Bears and their history of that. And if you're a really smart executive with the Bears and you know of this, you hear it too, you talk to agents every day, you know, and you talk to people who have represented players in the NFL for the last, who knows, X number of years. Is that a thing? If, what are you going to do about it? How can you help your franchise right now? And so I just, you know, and then the great reporting, according to other offers coming in, and I had heard that, not in the detail Courtney heard it because she's reporting on it every day. I'm not. But I heard it. And I was going, wow, you know, that's interesting that the Bears would do this and what would be their motivation. And the instant analysis was, that's crazy. No, it isn't crazy. Because the Bears have people who are thinking about the overall health of the franchise. That's what great executives do.
I suppose you
coaches and their staff deal with tonight.
You could do it in two separate ways, I guess, Michael. Like, you can either address it as an organization and follow the path that the Bears just did to try to improve the image, or you could be so good where it doesn't matter. You know, we were talking about that NFLPA exit survey, and apparently nobody in Kansas City can stand Lamar Hunt, but guess what? It doesn't really matter because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are there.
That's interesting to hear. But Andy Reid, and by the way, I, there are times, and I was covering the league, and the junior member of the Hunt family is still a pretty young guy.
Clark.
There are times where the Hunt family was seen as the model.
Yeah, I said Lamar Clark, excuse me.
You know, so yeah. I don't know how this goes. And I don't know, I didn't talk to any current players. My sources are not current. They are recent, former, and then some real former, people who've been out of the league, whatever, 10, 15 years. But mine are not current. So I don't know how that swings, if there's trending there. I don't know how that goes. But at times, the Hunt family and their staff have been seen as the model owners. So I don't know what to make of that.
In terms of Michael Wilbon, the fan, not the journalist, not the guy on TV. By the way, I love the sport coat you wore today. It's awesome.
Thank you.
The Michael Wilbon, the Chicago sports fan, how jacked are you for the Cubs season this year? Because I cannot freaking wait, because I do think they've got this thing pointed in the right direction.
I'm sure they have it pointed in the right direction. I'm a little nervous, which is probably good. I mean, the only time I haven't been all that nervous, well, I was nervous in 15 and 16, too. I just remember in 15, I was more cocky about it. Because I knew they weren't on the stoop for winning, but I knew they were right direction, close, going to be a fun year, and it was. You know, beat the Cardinals in the playoffs. You know, it hardly gets me more fun than that, except the next year.
Yep.
So 16 was a different kind of nervousness. I'm not there. I'm more of where I was in 15, so that's I can do that. I don't expect the Cubs to win this year. But, yes, pointed in the right direction. I can't wait to see it. Yes. I hate the spring training's over so early now, and they start these seasons so early so they can just have no doubleheaders, off days. Because I'm in Arizona right now, and I could go down the street and see the Cubs for what used to be another week.
Yeah.
Right? And I would, because I would get out here this week, and I'd go and see the Cubs and the White Sox, to be honest with you. I'd go, to Mesa and to Glendale and watch both teams play in person, and maybe more than once. But now, you know, now they wrap these things up and they're ready to start the regular season. I hate that because it's too cold everywhere to start it.
Amen.
It's too cold here in Arizona.
I've advocated for them to shorten the season, Michael, to your point. I said, I get it. And they should start it later. And you might not buy yourself a ton of time, but I've always said you should start this thing mid-April, started on Jackie Robinson Day. You celebrate that day across the league anyway.
Amen.
Like, what a better way to start the season.
Preach. You're right. And you do buy yourself a ton of time.
Yes.
Because 2 weeks at that time of year are huge.
Yes.
At this time of year.
Yes.
The difference between the forecast in most baseball cities between March 30th and April 15th is enormous.
Yeah.
And you know, when baseball was actually the king of sports in America, which it hasn't been for, I don't know, 35, 40 years, when it was, baseball did start on April 15th. So amen to every word you just said.
There you go.
Yeah, we had Rizzo on one day here a few years ago. He was still a Cub. And that I said that to him. Hey, man, would you advocate or be cool with shortening the season? He said, 100%. I said, you do realize he wanted 145 games.
Okay.
And I said, you do realize the owners are going to go, well, we're not paying
less
you
money.
The same money. He goes, we make too much anyway. He said, dude, I hung up the phone, and an hour later, the union's calling him. Would you shut
your mouth? Of course, you know it. You know it. You know they don't want to. First of all, the owners would never give up their,
right.
You know, if you went 154, hell, they're not going to give up eight.
know.
They're not going to give up eight games.
No way.
20.
And so much less, you know, closer to 20. So, you know, they're not going to do it. It's all these seasons should be shortened. The NBA should be a, you know, 72 game, a 68 to 72 game season max, which means, you know, cutting out whatever, at least probably 14 games on my count. I'd go to 68. They're not going to do it because they don't want to give up the gate or the percentage of TV revenues they get from those mistakes. They're not going to do it. All your answers are money, period.
Yeah. Yep. It's not our money, but I agree with you. I think all the leagues other than the NFL could benefit. Hockey as well. The seasons are too long.
And the NFL doesn't need to be 17 games either.
There you go.
It's going, probably to, 18. Going to 18.
It doesn't need to be 18. As they lie about just being safety.
Sure.
See,
of course.
They're liars.
Yes, of course.
They can adjust the kickoff all they want. If you want to make it safer, then play 15 games. Yeah. Make it safer. They don't give a damn.
Nope.
No. They care cosmetically. They care about the PR value of saying they want to make it safer.
Correct.
And doing this thing with the kickoff, they don't care.
You're correct.
It's going to 18. Do you believe Shohei?
I don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, so this is, we let our show, let me tell you what to say. And, I don't know, because we don't know Shohei. Look, there are plenty of American athletes I know, just like you two, just like we know dozens of people in various sports. I know people, and I know some of their predilections or their weaknesses and their flaws, and I know people who have let their boys have access to their primary checking account. I'm not exaggerating now.
You're right.
I know this. Mm. But I don't know Shohei like that. Shohei got married. We didn't know anything about him. he's a complete mystery. So I can't sit here and say I don't really have a feel for him, and I know it. So I'm not going to just get into wild speculation. I mean, could he be like, my brother has this great theory that Shohei took the bullet for his boy for a while there, and I didn't think it yesterday, but. Okay. I mean, could that be possible? I guess. I don't know. I tell you what is a bigger story to me than either Shohei or this dude, Jonte, whatever his name is.
Jonte Porter.
Michael Porter's brother.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was Michael Porter's brother. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So the bigger story to me is that there's going to be a player like this every week in every sport. Because our bosses at this network, because the NBA, because the NFL, because Major League Baseball and everybody else has said, let's get in bed with DraftKings and MGM and ESPN Bet. And the bigger issue to me is that. What, you did that and you didn't think there were risks? Please. Then all of our bosses would be liars, okay, and frauds. They have to know.
Yep.
Again, let me go through it. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL. All of them, ESPN, Disney, all of them are much more responsible in the face of this than some dude named Jonte, who if he was wearing his jersey in my studio, I would say, excuse me, can you introduce yourself? I don't know you.
Right, exactly. Michael,
Don't tell me he's the problem. He's the primary problem. Yeah. No, he's not.
I was at a Bulls game. A friend of mine calls me. He's like, dude, I got four seats right on the floor. You want to go? I'm like, yeah, I haven't sat down there other than on press row.
Yeah.
I'll go. And it's late in the fourth quarter, and some guy two seats over is yelling, hey, I need two rebounds to cash. And the player turned around and went, I'm coming out. Sorry, dude. And he came out of the game.
See?
Yes.
See, this is, okay. That is such a great story. And it is so. When you decide, when you sign on because you want hundreds of millions of dollars in your coffers, all of our bosses,
yep,
all of them, every sport, every network, when you sign on for that, then you're going to tell me Rudy Gobert giving the money sign is the big problem?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. It isn't. They can try to make it that way. They can deflect. They can fraudulently call out some player. It's just, but we're going to have this every week. And so I don't like, you know, Tony wants me to get upset at the player. I'm like, I'm not getting upset at the players for this. Put the blame where it belongs. And that means shared blame for everybody.
Hey, before we let you go, I got to tell you one thing. I want you to remember, I know you love Justin, and he was a great representative of the organization and a good person. Just remember this. We're chasing greatness. He was a nice kid. He was okay. We're chasing greatness, and we're on the precipice of the most exciting time since the 85 Bears.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I promise you I'm right.
You promised about Mitch. Slow down.
Promising about Mitch. Jesus Christ. That's a real demerit on your record right
there. Thank you.
I've learned more since then.
Slow down.
I mean, look, Caleb's a nice kid. He is.
Yep,
it seems
and,
like
and,
it.
And let me just say this. Coaching matters more in the NFL than any sport, and it matters in all of them. Like, so if Tim Duncan is drafted by, I don't know, that version, the 1997 or 99, whenever Tim Duncan got drafted.
Yeah.
If he's drafted by the 1999 version of, you know, Sacramento. No, bad example. They were good. Some team, just
the
some
Bulls.
Team.
The Bulls in 99.
No, the Bulls were but the Bulls could have still held it together. So yeah, 90s, people might have stayed and people might have stuck around. But if he was drafted by just a group that wasn't full of great coaches and great staff.
The Bullets.
Does he wind up being the same Tim Duncan? If he's not practicing every day against, you know, David Robinson and all, is he the same guy?
It's a great question.
So I think pro football, because I got to be around and cover the Joe Gibbs Washington Redskins franchise for a long time. And I've asked players about this. Guys who wear yellow jackets. You know, Daryl Green is a dear friend. And I'm like, okay, so if you had been somewhere else, we talk about this. So I think the coaching failed Justin Fields. And by the way, that's one thing. I didn't do reporting, but I've had people tell me to my face, you're right about that. Because we had, you know, when we had a coach, God knows he didn't want to coach Mitch. Yeah. He didn't. He wanted to coach 15 in Kansas City. He did. He wanted to coach him. He left him. He should have stayed there.
Yeah.
So coaching, man, coordinators, assistants, staff, they're so critical to the success of players. When you hear coaches and they want to just have their systems, I hate those people. I want them fired.
Yeah.
Because there have been incredibly successful coaches over decades who said, you know what, I'm going to scrap that system and bring in this one because I got this guy. And so if this system doesn't work with Steve Young just because it worked with Joe Montana, let me bring one in for Steve Young and we're going to make him a Hall of Famer too. I don't know that we've got that. I hope we do. I hope. And then in that case, I think that Caleb will be fine. And I love the moves. I love the veteran receivers. I don't know what's going to happen with the nine pick, but I do want linemen. I don't care what receivers you have if you don't have escorts. Look at the Bears' offensive line all those years. Talk about the most excitement since 85. I'm sorry. Those five guys plus depth. I'm going to tell you guys, you know how great that line was.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, you could have three of them in the Hall of Fame. So, and I saw that again with the Washington, with the Joe Gibbs team, that used three different quarterbacks, three different running backs, and won three different Super Bowls because the line was great. Our line is not great. So before I go crazy and fall in love, I want to see some draft day and summer camp improvements that are going to allow Caleb Williams to be what you guys think he can be.
Yeah. All right, well said. Have a great week, Michael. Thanks.
All right, you guys. Be good.
We'll appreciate see you. There's Michael Wilbon
He's brought to you by Hawk Auto.
Nice job. We're going to react to some of that. We got to talk about Shohei, too, because we haven't really been able to do that yet.
Yes.
312-332-3776. Ring us up. It's Cap'n Carm in for Waddle and Sylvie on Spring Trading.
You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Now, we went long with Michael Wilbon there, some good stuff, so we got
to
take another quick
time
out. Yeah, he was good. He's always good with the guys, so it was fun to talk to Michael. When we come back here after 5 o'clock, we will get into Aki's A-List. We'll talk about Shohei and give our thoughts. I thought Michael said it well. He said, do you believe him? I don't know. I don't know if I do either. I don't. I honestly don't.
So I called two...
And I want to talk about that coming up.
Two heads of Chicago banks yesterday. And they said, look, that shouldn't happen that someone can wire transfer $450,000 ten times. No, but they said, and Michael said it, there are guys who give power of attorney because they think that's their best friend, and he's the only guy that speaks the language with him.
Man.
And, take care of the banking for me. Next thing you know, $4.5 million gone.
I don't know, man. It's tough. But I do want to get into that and the whole gambling, like, you know, who's responsible, what kind of personal responsibility do these athletes have. We all have to abide by certain rules. Is that asking too much, even though these leagues are now going to make gobs of money off of it? I want to get into that. It's a nuanced conversation. We should talk about that and some NFL win totals.
Yeah, and Paulie...
Of course, we're gambling, of course.
Of course. Brought to you by whoever. Paulie, the bookie, who calls us, he's a great dude. I've never met him, but he's great on the air.
He's good on the air.
Paulie from Palm Beach called us. He said, listen to me. I'm a bookie. There is no way a bookie has given out $4.5 million in credit to a guy making $300,000 to $500,000 a year is what they said he was getting paid.
Yeah.
He said, unless he's supplying you back with info. Hey, by the way, the pitcher going tonight's got a sore wing. He said, there's no way.
That could be happening. I could see that. Not now, the show might not have any knowledge that was happening, though, but I could see that angle of it.
Tell me about Walker Buehler.
Well, it's a valuable killer. I should have spoken another language. They're making $500,000 a year as a translator?
Yeah.
Damn. Wrong profession.
Better start studying Japanese.
Brush up on something. 312-332-3776. We'll kick off the 5 o'clock hour with some Shohei gambling talk with Aki Zalas coming up next.